show should be called Fuck It. Okay, here we go.
It's the internet. It can.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. Welcome to The Startup. I hope you're having a good November 3rd already. How was your Halloween? I hope you guys had an amazing time out there. It's beautiful. We're not burning anymore. Listen, we've got an amazing show today. I'm here with Joel. Coach, do we say Coach Joel? What do we say?
Joel is just fine.
How you doing, Joel?
I'm happier than I've ever been.
Oh, my gosh. You know how to be in the moment, I think.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's part and parcel with what I do, is helping people be in the moment. So
there you go.
Reflecting toward you, then I've done my job for the day.
I love that. Now, so we've got a big show today. Dr. Joel, Coach Joel, he's here. And then we have two other call-in guests. So stand by for that. Dr. Elance McCarthy, he's a nerdy Dr. Swag of finance. He was on TED Talks. And then we have Formica Watkins, who's just started a charity called Purses of Hope. And she'll be calling in from Atlanta as well. But I'm here with you, and I'm so excited that you came in. Your line of work is always intriguing to me, because it's a resilience coach, is that right?
That's correct.
Tell us about being resilient, will you?
So, resilience coach is a term I came up with for what I do, and a few people along the way have started calling themselves the same sort of thing, or else they had the spontaneous idea apart from me, because we're all connected anyway. But when I share with people that I'm a resilience coach, usually the first thing they say is, oh, I could use more of that, or I know somebody who needs more of that, as if resilience was a quality that we had in quantities that had an index number, and we're always looking to have more units of it. So what I get to do is help people say that rather than it being a quality that they possess, actually it's one of the foundational ingredients that they're made of.
Oh, wow.
Everybody is made of 100% unbreakable resilience, unconditional love, and unlimited inner peace.
So you're helping them tap into the supply they already have.
Helping them tap into the understanding that who they are is infinitely greater than who they thought they were.
We're getting deep on The Startup, you guys.
We're going to start up deep.
I like that, because, you know, we've touched on it a little bit, but just those grueling hours of starting a business and nonstop communication with people, emails, phone calls, the lack of sleep, you know, you really do need resilience, and you need to go somewhere to tap in. So it's always intriguing to see what people do, where they go to tap into that source to continue to go.
Yeah, and often when people tap into a source, whether they're working with a teacher or a coach, or they're following a spiritual practice or some self-help modality, you name it, they're starting off with the idea that they're at point A, and there's a place in space and time called point B, and they're going to use this teacher or teaching as a bridge to that place. So while often they'll find some temporary result when they do that, they're also grooving in a misunderstanding that point A is inferior to point B.
Huh. Where's that from, though? Is that taught?
Well, I think all of us are pretty much conditioned to believe that from an early age, because we're conditioned by, even if we had the most loving parents in the world, they didn't understand how the life experience operates, so they did their best to share with us what they knew to be, what they figured would be most helpful to us.
Sure.
But there's a fundamental misunderstanding, and it's part of the two points of the work that I do with people. The first point, and they're interrelated, but the first point is that behind every situation, no matter what the circumstances are, there is unlimited inner peace. It could be the most fraught, most tragic situation, but it's occurring within a bigger time-space container, if you will, of absolute inner peace.
Wow. Okay.
And the second point is that who we really are does not share the limits of our physical body and our mind. That we are infinitely greater than that. And that can sound as woo-woo and cuckoo as you imagine. It did to me when I first started to learn what was going on.
Yeah.
But then I was pointed to a way to see through my own experience that absolutely had to be true, and that everything that I was living up until now was the exact opposite of that, and yet I had no proof for the exact opposite being true.
Interesting. How can we marry those ideas to startup and entrepreneurship immediately right now for someone that is feeling overwhelmed, that don't have the resources to continue, that have hit the wall, they've made obligations, they feel like they're alone, maybe they're scared or depressed, and they want to just push through to the next level. They don't want to go back to that 9-to-5, you know? How can we marry some of those ideas to that, do you think?
Well, like life, before we get married, it might be good to date and
court. Okay, right. What was I thinking? I skipped the romantic part.
maybe we could have that first date.
Yes, how do we date those things?
And see a few things. Okay. So, without understanding, it will look like I'm over here and there's a world out there and there are endless things that need to be done correctly, and there are endless landmines that I could hit along the way. Even if I'm prepared, or even if I do everything right, there has to be luck, and I have to get to this point B where I've done things correctly, avoided the dangers, and then that outcome is going to be a fundamental place where my well-being, my fulfillment, mm-hmm. my sense of general okayness is going to appear. So it could seem like it's in a zip code adjacent to mine, but I'm not there.
Okay.
So the first thing that I would help anybody do is to see that, oh, I've got the model wrong to begin with. Mm. That who I truly am is not an effect of any circumstances. There's something there's a deeper presence that is made of this unlimited resilience, as I talked about.
Sure.
You know, if I may, you have a thought right now, whatever that thought is.
Right.
But every thought you've had in your life up till this one has appeared and it's gone.
Yeah.
But there's something deep inside that has known every thought that's come and gone. And that knowing has never come and gone, even though all of your other thoughts have come and gone.
Hmm. Okay.
So what is that knowing? What is that intimate thing that knows all of your experience? That knowing also knows every perception you've ever had, everything you've seen, every sound you've ever heard. It knows every physical sensation you've ever had. And all of that has changed oodles and oodles of times.
Okay.
But the knowing of all of those has never been absent for a nanosecond. Consider that the knowing of your experience is who you are, not the ever-changing content of your experience.
Some would say that that's like the soul or the source connection or, you know.
There are many, many.
We can go real deep, but
many names for that. And often we don't want to necessarily go deep. But even when we don't want to go deep, it's because we sense that there's something in there that probably at some point needs to be considered.
So you're saying if you're an entrepreneur right now, think outside of the current situation and know that everything that you've been through up until this point, you've made it through, and your subconscious will help you? Is that what you're saying? In a nutshell?
Not exactly. I've got a different nut with a different
shell. Okay, well, let's go. Let's go. We're all squirrels. Let's go.
Oh, great squirrel story, but maybe that's for another time. In your first sentence, if say you're an entrepreneur right now, whatever the first sentence was, in that sentence was the idea that you are now an entrepreneur. So even right there, you haven't always been an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And And there are times during the day when you're not an entrepreneur. You're just Joe Blow doing whatever you're currently doing. And then when you think about your business or working your business, you're an entrepreneur again.
Mm-hmm.
So the content of our experience, even the things we identify with, is always changing.
Interesting.
But the deep, true nature, the true self, the Buddha nature, the whatever label you want to put on it that knows all of these different identities is the only constant that there is.
Mm-hmm.
So before we could work with like success in business, it's really vital to know who you really are.
Okay.
And once you know that, then, and I'm jumping to the really big implication of it.
Okay.
That once you know who you truly are, you will be freed from the tyranny of needed outcome.
Oh, and you know, you and I were talking about this over the phone a little bit.
I
had some notes about that because you're saying, you know, seeking outcomes for validation and things like that. And I was saying, well, I've always been results driven. But that's from way back when I ran track. And I mentioned this on the show before, running hurdles. And my father winning the, breaking the league record. And then me after, you know, after he was had his reign, I broke the same league record for the same event.
Wow.
You know, so yeah,
good
but it was always, thank you. It was really good for me. But just always being results driven and linking self-worth into work, you know, and you're saying maybe deduct that and look at it in a different way.
Well, not even deduct. It's like understanding what's really going on and then a lot of the false beliefs we have. And beliefs actually are always not true.
Mm-hmm.
Beliefs are thoughts about something. But there's a difference between something we believe and something we know through our own experience. So when we start to see how life works from our own experience, then a lot of the things that we heretofore thought will start to fall off of our shoulders, especially the burdensome stuff.
Huh.
Okay. So
I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, if I were to ask you, you know, Monique, you know, why are you doing your business? Why did you do hurdling, whatever? If you knew that any one of those activities that you do without fail would lead to suffering and misery, would you do any of those?
Yikes. I mean,
it's kind of a duh question.
Right. I mean,
okay. So well, what we're saying is whatever it is, whatever specific thing a person chose to do, they're doing it because they're imagining that there's going to be more units of happiness at the accomplishment or the achievement
mm-hmm.
or the, you know, the outcome that they're seeking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the journey too. You enjoy the journey.
Well,
you know,
you may enjoy the journey, and if you do, great.
Yeah.
So How do you come to see that enjoyment that you're seeking through a particular outcome is already the foundation you're standing on?
Wow. Well,
when you're standing on that, then you're freed from a needed outcome because you already experience yourself as the whole, complete.
Yeah. But then doesn't that take out the drive and the gumption and the grit and the ambition? I mean, I have it tattooed on my hand, you know, vision and ambition. And you take one link out of the chain and then you don't have Joel anymore. Doesn't that take away from...
I would do well to not have Joel anymore because Joel is a thought-constructed, ever-shifting identity that who I truly am knows.
Okay. Are you a Gemini? Is this going to be like multiple personalities?
I tell people.
Shout out to the Geminis.
I tell people I'm a Leo and our characteristic is we don't believe in astrology.
Holy hell. I love astrology. I think it's fun.
It is fun.
Is that your sun sign though? You're Leo?
I'm a Leo.
You're a lion?
I am.
Do you connect with that animal?
I'm a reluctant Leo.
Oh, God. Hey, there's the title of your new autobiography.
Thank you. Thank you. I think my autobiography is just going to be great titles.
A book of titles. That's awesome. Some clever titles. Hell yeah. Well, okay. Wow. So what do you guys think about this? Joel is going deep, but I think it is very necessary to know why you do what you do and know who you are. Because if you're selling a brand, you need to know what that brand is. So you need to sometimes sell yourself to people to get them to buy into your brand, right? They would need to believe in what you're doing. Maybe not. Is that a belief that I've been believing that we need to shift?
Well, So again, and one of the reasons I have a job is people don't get it on the first couple sentences
right.
that I share.
Yeah,
well,
of
that they
course
weren't,
not.
I'm totally okay to share it with anybody and have them
right.
you know, get everything they need from it.
Right.
Okay. But sometimes it takes a little bit of, for a limited time, repeated pointing toward who we truly are until the understanding sets in.
Okay.
Otherwise, what happens is we hear something, it kind of clicks, and then we do this dance back and forth to, oh, yes, I'm the awareness of all my experience, but, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm back in my body, and there's a world out there full of things that need to be improved in order for me to be lifted up or at least defended against the difficult things out there.
Hmm.
So what I'm helping people see is there's actually no separation between who they truly are, objects in the world, other people, and even the world out there. This is ultimately, this is a view of the world that we've called non-duality.
Non-duality. Okay. Please explain, Lucy. Explain, Lucy.
Well, yeah. it's very understandable. Like I said, we're conditioned early on to believe that who we are exists inside this flesh and bone capsule, and that we're powered by our cluster of thinking right now. And who I am is from the edge of my skin inward in my thoughts. That's me. And then everything from the edge of my skin outwards is not me.
Oh, okay.
Made of separate things.
Now, and I'm going to pause you right there,
you
doctor,
pause me.
Coach. Doctor or coach? You told me, but
I
forgot.
I'm not a doctor, but it's so flattering to hear you refer to me that
I mean,
way.
You know, we can get online. We got Ronan Revenue, Eric Johnson. He's got some online stuff. But experience is the best teacher, I believe. School of Hard Knocks, school or tangible goods, and you know, just learning.
Yeah,
right.
And when I use the word knowing from experience, I'm talking about something even deeper because. You know, words are tricky. They have lots of different definitions. And a lot of times if I just say experience, someone will think I'm talking about their life resume. Oh, I went here on Saturday and I had this experience and went there. I'm talking about something deeper, like what do we know through our sensory equipment
mm-hmm.
and through our thought?
Okay.
You know, people think that the world exists in separation. But you're looking at me across the room here and... Can you see me outside of your ability to see?
I'm appreciating what value you're bringing to everybody.
But can you see me outside of your capacity to see?
I can sense you as well.
You can sense me. But can you, all right, let's get granular. Can you see me outside of the function of seeing?
Perhaps. I don't know if I know the answer to that.
It's not a trick question.
I don't know.
Look to your own experience.
Maybe.
Can you see any objects that don't include you in the seeing of them?
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, I mean, you sensing it and intuition.
No,
and
I'm talking about. I'm talking
oh,
about
using
sight.
All my
seeing.
Senses. Okay,
yeah.
No.
Okay. So
the answer's no. So. That was a long road to no.
Well, because you're deep, so you're
I'm,
you're
well,
really
I want to make sure I'm getting it yeah. right. But, yeah.
Because if you don't get it right,
then there's consequences.
I will deduct points.
Okay, well, that's a great place to hold, Joel, because you make really good points. And so right now we actually have Formica Watkins. I was telling you about. She's the founder of Purses of Hope. Formica, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. You're here
Hi,
with
Formica.
Yeah, you're here with Joel, and he is a coach in helping people with resilience. And we were listening to him. We want to talk about your new your startup here. Tell us about Purses of Hope and what you're up to.
So Purses of Hope is a organization. It's my organization where we collect gentle used or new purses, and we fill them with hygiene products and resources and a letter of hope, and we go out to different shelters where they're, you know, women, and we're also trying to start one for men as well. But we go out to the different shelters and we hand out the products to the individuals living in the shelters, and we also go out and try to network with community organizations that can provide different resources to individuals that are experiencing financial difficulties, homelessness, to try to help them overcome their situation and give them, you know, some good resources, effective resources to help them get out of those situations.
I love this because you actually have a story about your startup. I mean, it was really rough out there, right? I mean, you were kind of homeless, but you're a social worker. Tell us a little bit about what happened with you.
Yeah, so a few times in between doing a divorce, when I got a divorce and came home, I experienced homelessness as a child. My family experienced some homelessness growing up. My parents tried their best, but, you know, sometimes you just fall on hard times. And I think people have an image of what homelessness looks like, and a lot of people don't even know, you know, my story growing up. Some people do and some people don't. As an adult, I grew up where I experienced it after my divorce, and when my dad got sick and passed away in 2014, I came home from Florida and, again, experienced some difficulties, you know, because of his medical care and financial hardship with that. You know, I ended up being, you know, not having a place to live as well.
And that's super scary because, you know, as a startup, you already have the burdens, and it's a positive burden, or the responsibilities, I should say, of taking care of the business and people that are working with you. And then you've got the added family stuff. That's got to be super overwhelming.
Yes, it is. And that's why I went, you know, I wanted to become a social worker because I knew, like, just my personal story and just being in the field, working in the social service industry, I knew that it was a lot of people who had my stories and worse stories than mine. And I just knew. And then you look at the resources, it's like it's nothing out there to really help, or where you feel comfortable and going to talk to people about those things and how, you know, to help you overcome. And I just want to be able to provide that to individuals, along with, you know, when we came up with Persons of Hope, it was came about because we were like, well, what do people do around, you know, especially females, around their time of the month to keep themselves together, because you still want to feel like a woman. And I know for me, if it's hard to get my food, it's hard to get those products as well.
I don't you love what she's doing? I love what she's doing. So yes. What do you think about, you know, the next coming year? What do you have going on for yourself in the coming year for Purses of Hope?
Well, we want to expand. We want to reach other cities. We also are talking. I have a partner. Her name is Mika. She has an agency called Healing Women of Atlanta. And I have partnered with her, and we're going to do a 4-city tour where we go out to 4 cities that we have named. And we're going to do a training and kind of like get people to understand about our program and about what we do and how we want to bring awareness to homelessness. Because, like I put in my article that I did for a magazine, we feel like it's a subject, but it's not a priority for our community. And then you have certain communities who have no resources. So
yes,
we want to build that. We also want to be able to have our organization stationed in 5 cities. That we want to go to: Jacksonville, Detroit, Atlanta, of course, L.A., of course, and Denver, Louisiana.
I love that.
We want to be, those are top 5 cities that we want to be in. We're trying to get more sponsorship and funding to come in so that we can be able to service those cities and bring the same thing that we do here in Atlanta to those cities as well.
Well, beautiful, Formica. What do you think of this, Joel? I think it's great.
I'm just so bowled over by what a beautiful heart this woman has.
Yeah.
And that I really get the sense of her sincerity and how she senses the connection we have, and that she's appealing to the heart of her community and the heart of people who may seem to have fallen through the cracks. It's just a lovely thing to see.
It's a beautiful characteristic that you find in an entrepreneur, you know, coming from the heart. You know, you can't lose. So, Formica, thank you so much for calling in, and tell the listeners and the viewers on Facebook where we can find you on social media and how they can donate to Purses of Hope.
Okay, so we have a Instagram page, which is Purses_of_hope.
Okay.
We also have Facebook, which is Purses of Hope. We have a Twitter, which is Purses of Hope, and it has the S on Hope for Facebook and Twitter. We also have a website, which is Purses of Hope, with the S on Hope.com, and they can also contact us at 470-269-0161, and we have a Purses of Hope Cash App, PayPal, and GoFundMe. And that's all Purses of Hope.
I love this. Well, we can't wait to see you come out to LA. As you know, the homeless problem is, you know, is apparent, and it has a lot to do with addiction and getting out of jail, you know, for nonviolent and not being able to keep a job, and people don't realize that, you know. So we want to definitely, and I think Dr. Drew even addresses that. So we can't wait till you come out here to LA and help us out. And thank you again for making time on this Sunday.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for all you do. It's beautiful.
Happy holidays, Formica.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. She's amazing. Love her. So what do you think? I mean, people like that. I mean, how can we tie this in for the greater consciousness, some of the points that you've been making to kind of heal some stuff?
So it fits the points that I try to make quite nicely, because when we realize who we are and that there is no separation between us and so-called other people, then it would make no sense to do anything other than the most loving things we can do in the world.
Sure.
You know, when we sense this false sense of separation, it will always look like, well, I have to best other people, or I have to do things at the expense of other people, or I have to defend myself against other people, or any number of things done in order to affect something different in relation to quote-unquote other people to enhance, aggrandize, or defend this falsely imagined separate self.
That's kind of, I heard the phrase, divorce your story and marry your truth. And I guess that's divorcing all the things you've been taught and heard and digested and, you know, listened to. And your parents mean well, and they're just a guy and a girl that got together, but sometimes that stuff gets in gets integrated into you.
And the fundamental thing, so every time somebody's suffering, what's happening is that they have a feeling, an emotional feeling, that they don't prefer, and twist-tied to that feeling is a story that I'm this separate, limited self that can be damaged by conditions like this or by any sort of condition. It's the belief in a separate self that could be damaged. That's the foundational cause of all suffering.
Wow. I love this. I'm so glad you're here, because it feels like you're putting it all together. You know, you're going to really help some people get free, I think, you know, in their entrepreneurial journey, you know. So right now I have a very special call in. I mean, the first one was also amazing.
Awesome.
So Dr. E. Lance McCarthy, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Amazing. And we've got in the studio with us Joel Drasner. Did I say it right, Joel?
Joel Drasner.
Drasner.
Yes.
So, Dr. McCarthy, thank you for making time out of your busy schedule. It's an honor to have you. And I hear that you've got some amazing things going on. I know that you were on TED Talk. Can you tell the viewers and the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Great. Yes. Thanks for having me on, Monique. My name is Dr. E. Lance McCarthy. I'm an economist by training. I've done economic research forever, particularly in technology and urban development. I was very fortunate to serve under two presidential economic advisory boards, both President Clinton and President Barack Obama. I've also been very fortunate to do a TED Talk, as you mentioned, on technology, as well as lectured at Harvard now four times. My research is focused on rebuilding urban America. And we have started an organization 5 years ago after the Ferguson unrest called Ferguson 1000 to create 1,000 jobs and to grow minority tech firms. We now are in 8 cities across the country, have been able to work with over 300 companies, have been able to place over 10,000 people in jobs. We really believe that we have the platform and the blueprint to help curb a lot of the issues around the country in urban America.
Well, that's dynamic. I mean, how do you beat that intro?
Wow.
Tell us the 8 cities that you're currently focused on, will you?
Yeah, we started in Ferguson, as I mentioned. Then I put together a team that went around the country with me. My great friend, Ray Lewis, NFL Hall of Famer, Jeff Hoffman, co-founder of Priceline, Richard McCoy, Umbert America. And so we left Ferguson, went to Baltimore. From Baltimore to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to Chicago, Chicago to Miami, Miami to Detroit, and we have 10 cities next year that we will develop and incorporate. We're kicking it off in the Bahamas, actually, in December, and then we will go to cities all around the country next year.
How can we join you in the Bahamas? Hell, I want to go there. That's a good way to kick off 2020. So
yeah, it's going to be on December 30th, New Year's Eve. We'll do a investment summit during the morning, and we'll have a big soiree that evening.
So, Dr. McCarthy, tell us exactly immediately how you are affecting the urban financial agenda. And I think more specifically, you were speaking about Crenshaw and Inglewood and tied into some of what NIPSE was doing.
Yes. Yeah, so we believe that if we're able to grow minority tech firms and therefore we can hire minorities in urban America, the issue of education, crime, et cetera, has a direct correlation to economics. So we do two things. We go into a market. We have these hiring events, not job fairs. People actually get hired on the spot, free haircuts, free suits, expungement services, prayer chapel. And then we do what we call pitch to player, which is our version of Shark Tank. And people actually pitch to us, and we look to find those top companies, and we invest in them and help them grow. So we believe that the way to really help urban America is to, one, get training for able to people to get jobs, two, to train the new emerging opportunities, coding, et cetera, and three, to really help get contracts and capital for minority tech firms. And we believe that model, as we've seen around the country, can continue to grow, and we're very excited about doing this in country or out country. So.
Well, you've hit the head on the nail. I mean, did I hammer the head on the nail? he's hit the target,
from
damn it.
From the standpoint of the nail, that's what happens.
That's right. That's true. So, you know, and Dr. McCarthy, you're saying it absolutely correctly. I mean, you find yourself as an entrepreneur, a lot of us, you know, where you've woken up and you're fucking 17 and there's credit in your name, you know? How do you get yourself out of that situation where you're at a negative zero and you've got capital to start your business from your point of view?
I believe, one, you have to surround yourself with the startup community. Every city now has some form of accelerator, incubator, co-working space, etc. Very minimal cost, but you're in the environment where people are actually doing business, and you're able to network, strategize, find all kinds of resources. And so I just believe putting yourself in those environments allow you to connect and move forward. Every time we go to a market, we have our events in a co-working space on Accelerator to tap into the emerging technology. And so I advise everyone to find a local accelerator or co-working space and be able to network, connect, and find the resources, because there are tons of resources out here. You just have to be in the network to make it happen. That's why we partner when we go to these markets all across the country.
Why tech? Do we have any data that says that the urban community, and all people in the community, but the urban community is more prone to having, you know, taking exception in that way? Why are you targeting that market of work?
I'm targeting tech because that is where the growth in the industries are. When you look at Black Enterprise every year for the top 100 in minority businesses, 45% on retail, restaurants, and car dealerships. Only 10% is in technology. We know that technology is the wave. It is trendy. It is also able to create wealth. So we want to move from the 10% to 20 or 30. We want to be able to aggregate all that talent. We're very fortunate. As we go around the country, we find youngsters, 15, 16-year-olds, who have great ideas. We find ex-felons, which you call prison tech, that we help them get into their companies. So we believe that we're on the gadgets. We're on the consumer side. We just need to move on the manufacturing and the producing side and be able to create wealth in order to turn things around. I mean, every minority that we know, 95% have some kind of smartphone. You should be able to leverage and use that to move it forward. And most recently, what you and I talked about prior is the Opportunity Zone. Mm-hmm. That is going to be more capital coming to urban America than ever before in history. The Rockefeller Foundation has done research and says because of the Opportunity Zones, people are able to leverage and to defer their capital gain tax for 10 years, $6 trillion with the T is going to be coming to urban America. So we want to be able to leverage that money in both real estate and technology in order to rebuild urban America.
That is, I remember you telling me this right when you got the news, and it blew my mind. So can you just break it down for the everyday person that does not understand what the hell you just said?
Well, everyone should do Google Opportunity Zone, because the issue that has been in the minority community has been the lack of equity capital. The legislation has been passed. It started in Obama administration. Now it's gone to President Trump signed it. And because of that, you're going to have capital gains tax deferred. So all the wealthy individuals who look at how they can use their taxes, they'll be able to put into a fund and defer for 10 years. That money then will be transferred to urban America at the tune of $6 trillion. So we want everybody to be able to Google Opportunity Zones and find your local person that is in charge of that when we move this agenda forward.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is that that tax cut that people were upset about for the wealthy, they're going to be able to take that tax cut, put that into a fund, create interest on it, gain interest on it, and then shoot it back into the neighborhoods and get a write-off to help us. Is that what you're
that's
saying?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
There you go.
That's correct.
All right. So that's good.
You're incentivizing. See, other laws have been tried to force people to do something. It doesn't work. When you incentivize, it works.
Yeah, like anything else, though, having some skin in the game. So what do you want to give us? Can you give us some really, like, in-depth, like, just some quick little tips that my listeners and viewers can walk away with that are that person that's got $10,000 or $5,000 or $100 that are trying to get something off the ground? What would you give them? Give them some little gems, will you, Doctor?
Yes, for four C's I lecture on and call the four C's of emerging opportunities. The four C's are cannabis, crypto, sales, which is stem cells, and the continent, being international. Mm-hmm. If people look at those four areas and figure out how they can play in those arenas, I guarantee you'll make money. Cannabis, because we're moving across the country and making it both medical and recreational, there's tons of opportunities in it, not just growing, not just dispensary, but all kind of other factions. Crypto, we're moving from the old antiquated analog cash system to digital, so you have a currency that can be traded around the world. Thirdly, stem cells. We're changing the whole medical arena. As opposed to getting hip replacements and knee replacements, we're able to get into the stem cell arena. And then lastly, continent, being that we are global citizens. You can live anywhere, but you're a global citizen, and we have over 300 World Trade Centers that you can use for free to be able to leverage your company and go around the world. So I tell people, look at those four C's, and you'll be able to make money. And secondarily, look at a problem. If you're able to solve a problem, I guarantee you can create a business around it. And we're moving so fast. Every 30 minutes, a new technology is being developed. If you go to school and graduate now, every 4 years from now, everything you learn is obsolete. So you just got to stay on top of it. Stay on top of the trends and look at those opportunities.
I love that. Those are the four C's. What do you think, Joel? That's pretty amazing, huh?
Certainly caught my attention.
Yes. I mean, the stem cells, too. It's crazy. I got to get endless opportunities. I mean, you've seen people, you know, I'm doing a docu-follow on a young man that was shot by the Tacoma police, and he's in a wheelchair now. And I was telling his mother the other day, I'm like, I think he's going to walk again because of stem cell research and what we know about how the body heals. And he's so young, and I really believe that he will walk again.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. No more hip replacements, knee replacements. You actually call regenerative medicine, which you're taking placentas and being able to inject that into the body and be able to create new cells. It's the best thing, not only from a healing and a pain side, but also cosmetic. So it is the area, and we know that we can assist individuals not only from the medical side, but also being able to get into the medical arena, and it hasn't been before this time.
Well, this is beautiful. And when you're back in L.A., we definitely have to have you come into studio because this man can dress everybody. Dr. McCarthy can dress to the nines. Don't you have a new line that just – you're dropping a new line, aren't you?
Yes, I started a fashion blog, and we're going to be representing a wide variety of different fashions. We believe that is a conversation piece, which is the name of our platform, Convo Piece. We're kicking it off at the Super Bowl in Miami. We're going to be at the Lamborghini dealership. We're going to have a high-end party, high-end fashion. Nice. Keith and James is going to be participating with us with the hat, so we'll be kicking it off at the Super Bowl in Miami.
I want a hat, damn it. I'm a Mad Hatter. You know I like my hats.
I know.
You are.
Yes. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Doctor, for calling in. Please tell us where we can find you and the next event that we can join you. I think it's in the Bahamas. Can you plug that for us again?
Yes. It's the Bahamas on, again, December 30th. You can get us at www.global1000.us, global1000.us, and my direct email is drfinance7, D-R-F-I-N-A-N-C-E, the number 7 at AOL.
And you're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook,
yeah, Instagram,
right?
Instagram and Dr. Lance, yes. You can find me everywhere.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and you have a beautiful Sunday.
Wonderful to
hear
what you're up to.
All right,
So, I mean, it's just coming from all over. There's so many great ideas.
So many great ideas, and I'm also struck by the fact that with both of your guests, there is a deep, sincere sense of I'm not just in this for me, that we are in this together, and providing opportunity for people is
it's huge.
It's huge and hugely fulfilling, and it's right in alignment with what we've been talking about, that we are not separate entities. And to the degree that we think we are at war with one another.
It's a good bringing together message. We need it more than ever these days, for sure. So what is your 2020 looking like as far as clients and events, and where can we find you, and what can we look for from you?
I'm easily found through my website, joeldrazner.com, joeldrazner.com. And, you know, I'm a really funny sort of person. I do not do a lot of planning. Perhaps it's because of my improv comedy background from the old days. I'm really in the moment.
Okay.
So I imagine there's going to be more of what I've been doing. I look for opportunities to share something that I learned that was so liberating with the world. So whether it's public speaking, running workshops, working with individuals one-on-one, as a teacher once told me, be like rain. Just rain your wonderful message that you want to share, and sometimes the rain will hit fertile soil and you'll grow seeds. Sometimes it'll hit parked cars, but the rain just doesn't care. The rain just
is. That's badass. I like that.
Yeah. But of the things I would like to do and what I've been looking into doing, in the coaching business, people say find a niche.
Well, you say that with such disdain. Ouch, that hurt. That hit my neck.
It actually works in some, with what certain people are working with.
Yeah.
But with what I'm working with, I'm working with how life operates. So you would think that anybody in life would operate from knowing.
Well, you're expecting them to be where you are,
right?
A little bit,
but that being said, I've been having fun dabbling in the areas of working with caregivers who are experiencing burnout from the care that they're giving, working with actors who know they could be having they could at least be enjoying their career more when they weren't experiencing anxiety when they faced the gatekeepers who they think stopped them, like producers and important casting directors, what have you. Or attorneys who, if you check with the California Bar Association, will say that's the highest stress profession that's around. And then in one of my big loves, because my mother was a elementary school teacher when I was really young, working with K-12 teachers who are in this inverted Bermuda triangle of suffering between unruly classrooms, administrations that don't understand them, and parents who complain all the time.
Sure.
So I'm helping them see that who they are is impervious to any outside influence in terms of damaging their resilience. And once that happens, then the classroom comes more into alignment with who they are, because they're unflappable and they just operate from the love that they know themselves to be.
It's just this place of confidence that that confidence comes from somewhere else. We don't know where that came from, but
And
people gravitate towards the confidence.
And that's a great point, because confidence, The entire self-help section at Barnes & Noble or your library is filled with books on how to gain more confidence. But everybody knows that there are times when they feel confident and secure, and times when they feel completely insecure, and every shade of the spectrum in between those extremes, and that's continually coming and going.
Yeah.
But the knower, the deep knowing awareness of all of those different shades of gray of confidence or not confidence is never departed from them from even a nanosecond. So when we know ourselves to be the ever-present awareness of our experience rather than any temporary content of it, then as a byproduct, we have a deeper sense of what from the outside will look like confidence.
How do you date? I bet the ladies get so fucking scared. Are you married?
Not that I know of.
Okay, right, right. I mean, but that because you're so deep and great, and I get it all the time. People are like, Monique, you're too much to handle. I've addressed this. You guys have heard this already. But you must like really, they either get you or they don't, right? I mean, well, or you can tell away.
Dating and business, in some ways it's the same thing. Either people get you or they don't.
Yeah.
But if I needed people to get me,
you'd be in trouble.
I would be in trouble.
Yeah.
And many people live their lives as if they need X, Y, and Z to happen in the world.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to be okay. Well, the only reason they're not okay is because they believe that that's true.
Yeah.
If we go into their experience, we find out exactly the opposite is true. That who they are needs nothing to be any particular way. And from that freedom from the tyranny of outcome, they can feel free to go after anything that lights them up, with no worry about how they're going to come across or, you know, limiting themselves in any particular way. They could be open to doing anything, changing direction on a dime, because all of it, if it doesn't pan out the way they want, they can shift to something else, knowing that they were okay from square one.
Knowing that you're enough. And it's good to have someone in your camp or have a team player. I mean, I like that. You know, it's good, but... And, you know, some people don't get, like, you're single, and it's like, yeah, it's okay. I'm not going to die. No one ever died from being single. Like, it's not a disease, you know, but I'd rather go from a steady anchor of just being alone and being a go-getter, and then you date, right? I mean, what's the takeaway on that, though? The busy business person, and I know we're running out of time. I could talk to you for 2 more hours. You're amazing. What's the takeaway today for everybody, do you think? Joel?
You're already okay at point A, and there is no point B.
I like that. You started off with the show with that point.
Yeah. If life were a shopping mall, you're okay at the sign when you get out of your car, you are here. Before you shop in any of the
you
stores.
Are here. Yeah. That's great. I should get a tattoo, like, on my tramp stamp. You are here. Just kidding.
Let's talk about that dating thing.
God, I'm so inappropriate. It's crazy. Thank God I'm on .com radio, right? What did they do with me at the regulated radio stations? Well,
such a delight.
Oh, it's a pleasure to know you. And I'm so excited to hear about, you know, what you'll be up to. Where can we find you besides the website? Are you doing any events or any talks or anything?
I do events from time to time. So I will have definitely one per quarter for sure that you'll be able to find about through my website. I also send out a very short snippet of what it is that I share called Thursday Thoughts.
Ooh.
And if you go to my website, you can sign up for Thursday Thoughts. You'll get this very short thing. It'll take you 30 seconds to read it. And it will also, underneath it, it'll keep you up to date on anything that I'm doing. But
that's
people
wonderful.
Seem to be loving it, and I'm enjoying sharing it.
Well, thank you. And can we afford you, by the way? What the hell? We're startup companies over here. What's your range, Joel?
So if what I did was a cookie cutter, I'd be able to say it's X, Y, and Z, and it costs this much.
Different packages.
My interest is it's really helping people who sincerely want to know what it is that I share.
Okay.
And then from that, we could have a conversation. I think we could work together.
I like that. Coming from a place of yes. All right, you guys, listen, I want to thank all of our guests today, our Collins and Joel. And listen, next weekend, I'm actually having the pre-Soul Train Music Awards brand mixer. A lot of startup brands are coming. We've got some amazing things from all over. It's in Santa Monica. It's at the Rap Saloon. It's the oldest building in Santa Monica. I had my other mixer there. You guys go on eventbrite.com and type in pre-Soul Train Music Awards brand mixer and come on out. Also, we're having the first annual Startup Entrepreneurs Lab. It's the holiday mixer at the same location on December 5th. So Both of those things are on eventbrite.com. Just type them in. And what will you start up today? I can't wait to find out. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys next weekend. Have a good evening. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I always do it early.
Irreverent. I can still see entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.